Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk listeners, this is Chocolate Lady 64, and we are on another week. Matter of fact, I think we're in our third week for the month of October. No, I'm sorry, second or third week, I can't remember now. But my world has been turned so upside down, and tonight I'm basically going to, I don't want to say ramble, but I want to talk probably about several different things all at once. I don't have any lineup tonight because I'm so unprepared. And it's because we've been having one of my sisters is very sick right now. Last week I did my show in Georgia. I'm getting ready to take another trip back to Georgia probably the week after next. So I'm kind of not myself because of that. Because my mindset is on her, and each and every one of you listeners, if you believe in a God or believe in God, let me say that, I would like to ask you guys to, and all my friends, to pray for my sister, pray for healing in her. Today she kind of got me down today because when I called her to check on her, she's like, she's tired of being in pain, and I was like, don't talk that way. So and I got my other two sisters to call her, to encourage her. Because, I mean, when I talk to her, I kind of break down. So it's kind of hard for me to, I need to be encouraging myself while I'm trying to encourage her. So I got kind of like, you know, I don't know if I can handle this with her talking like this. But I know God is in the plan, and God prevails on anything that we do when it comes to healing, when it comes to any parts of our lives. If we put God first, everything is going to happen the way that it needs to happen. It's not for us to sit back and worry. If we've already put it in his hands, we need to leave it. If we put it at his feet, we need to leave it at his feet. Don't take it back, because then it's much more harder for whatever we're asking for to be fulfilled. So that's why I'm kind of not myself. So please forgive me, and I don't want it to kind of reflect on my radio show, but I'm trying to get through this because it's a trying time for the whole family, not just us. I mean, just her. It's a trying time for the whole family. So we're all trying to deal with it, and it's kind of rough because we're kind of like a close-knit family to a certain extent. And we live so far apart from each other that it's kind of hard. So it's a lot of traveling back and forth. You know, I have a sister in New York. I have a sister in Michigan. And then it's me and my other sister that we live here in Louisiana. My mom's here in Louisiana. So it's kind of hard when everybody's trying to connect, you know, all at one time. So we're all trying to put together a trip where we can go down together to see her or to kind of comfort her while we have that opportunity to. So tonight I wanted to talk about, it was a question I put on my Facebook page this week, and I asked about toxic friends and toxic relationships. And how do we handle them, and what do you need to do to get rid of them? So, what is a toxic relationship? What is a toxic friend? Okay, as you know, the word toxic means something negative, right? Something poisonous, something that can destroy. So what you do is you take that and you put it in with a friendship, and you put it in with a relationship. Now, first and foremost, I do not want you guys to get the impression that I'm telling you that you're in a toxic relationship by the things that I say, and you need to break up with your husband, significant other, boyfriend, whatever. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to take heed when you're tired and you know that the toxic relationship is wearing you down mentally, emotionally, and physically. When you get tired, you'll know, and you'll step away from it, or you'll go on with your life, or you'll stay in it. It's a decision you make on your own. But recognize what a toxic relationship is. And that's important, first and foremost. Okay, let's see. And this kind of almost goes along with our conversation, I think the week before last we talked about domestic violence, or was it last week? I think it was last week, because the week before last I didn't do a show. It was last week that we were talking about domestic violence in relationships. So this is kind of can be offset from that also. So right now, what I want to do is I'm going to play you some music and go from there. And when we come back, we'll get into toxic friendships and relationships, okay? Just a second. Gladys Knight, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Okay. Now, let's talk about toxic relationships. And again, like I said, this definitely goes along with the conversation or discussion from last week where it was domestic violence. And I went to Associate Content, and it's one of these websites that have some very good information on it. And it says recognizing the signs of relationships in crisis, which is another way of talking about toxic relationships. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. Let's see here. Because we already talked about that. We just want to... Let's see what the next page. Because this is basically... Oh, okay. It says, the title of this one is, Are You in a Toxic Relationship? And we want to know, are we in one? Okay. And then also, we also will talk about what we call recovering from a toxic relationship. But after we kind of go over this, deception, first of all, you can catch your partner in a series of lies, cover-ups, and secrets, and they continue to deceive you even after having serious discussions about how it's affecting your relationship and making promises to stop. If you cannot trust your partner and believe in their word, then there is really no future together. Without resolution and couple counseling, your relationship has a short shelf life with a looming expiration date. Insight. Now, I'm thinking this is based off of probably a married couple, but we're just talking basically about people who are dating. Now, when you know you're in a toxic relationship and you're just dating this person, that's usually the time when you need to be paying more attention. You know, we get so caught up in love. We get so caught up in the way he looks at me, the way he holds my hand, the way he kisses me, how good he is in bed. Those things are important, but they're really not when it comes to your emotional stability and your physical stability. You need both of those. Mental also, because to me, you have to be able to stimulate my mind. You have to be a good conversationalist. And if you don't have conversation, and all you want to do, and some women prefer a man not to talk at all, just long as he's there, you know, just to have a man. I listen to women sounding so desperate for somebody. The loneliness. Well, God didn't make us to be alone, and we're supposed to have somebody. But if you wait on him, and I'm not preaching, please do not get the concept or get the impression that I'm sitting here preaching about God, God, God. I'm not, because I know all my listeners don't think that way. I'm just saying, sometimes when we pick people for ourselves, they're really, we pick them for all the selfish reasons and not the reasons that are going to be helpful and healthy to our relationships or to us. Okay, he's a good-looking guy. Yeah, okay, because he can be good-looking, have great conversation, and still be not the one. You have to know in your heart and in your mind what you want. It's not about the physical attributes of a man or the woman, because this goes for both. You have to know in your heart that you want to be with this person, and this is the person for you. And it's not just the first person you met, and after the couple of dates, oh, God, I'm in love with them. Because though the first few dates are when the deception kicks in. That's when they're going to lie, and little by little, you'll find out that this person really isn't who you think they are. And if you just study, you know, we have a lot of intelligent, smart women who study hard, you know, get through college and learn all this stuff and know how to practice what you need to learn things. We can do the same thing with our men. Learn your man, if nothing else. Learn your woman, you know. Learn your significant other. Don't spend so much time, oh, I don't care about all that, I just want to be with somebody. Well, baby, you know what? In the end, it's going to bite you in the butt if you don't. If you don't take time out and learn that person, it will bite you in the butt. Okay? So, if I spent many, many dollars and hours on learning things, then I need to use all of those and study my man or my woman or my significant other. I need to study that person. I need to truly know who and what they're about. You know, you can put them in situations just to see if they can get out. You know what I'm saying? And it don't have to be, it can be very, very subtle. Now, if they can't get out those situations, or I'll say they don't do it, well, I don't want to make it say it's the way that you want them to do it, but in the way that you think it should be done, then you need to kind of look at that, because that's important, because you're trying to find out if this person is really for you, or are you wasting your time? And that's very, very much, that's very important when it comes to relationships. Okay. On here, it's also talking about substance abuse. If your partner has a drug or alcohol problem and or tries to pressure you into participating in the same behavior, you find yourself escaping into alcohol or drugs used to cope with the situation. Now, okay, they're talking about alcohol, drugs. Okay. When you see your man, because, you know, marijuana seems to be, people want to kind of shove it to the side like it's really not an important drug. If it wasn't so important, it wouldn't be so hard to get illegal. I mean, to make it legal. So, you know, he smokes marijuana a couple times, and you watching him. Okay, that right there is the time when you need to think, okay, this man already got some issues that I'm bothered with, or this woman has some issues that is bothering me. Let's see how I can, you know, approach this. And it's up to you to allow somebody to convince you to do the same thing that they're doing. Okay? At a certain age, you should be able to make decisions on your own, and somebody shouldn't pressure you into doing stuff, drinking or smoking marijuana or doing drugs. You should be able to make that decision on your own. It also says you start taking it to cope with the relationship. Well, why are you coping with the relationship? Okay? Why would you get into the drugs and the alcohol if it's something you don't normally do? Why would you change to cope with the relationship? Why would you want to cope with a relationship that's forcing you, or that person forcing you to do those things? So you have to keep that in mind. You know, okay, why am I doing this? Because I'm in a relationship that I don't want to be in, and I'm going to do this to cope? No. Well, that's a warning sign for you to step away. And that's why you have to be very careful when you get involved and you're falling head over. Oh, he's so nice to me. He took me to McDonald's. Oh, he paid a ticket for me. And, oh, he paid my water bill. And, oh, he did. That's not, to be honest with you, those are not signs of a good man. I mean, I'm sorry. That, to me, it takes more than that. Or a good woman. I mean, it takes more than that. Believe it or not, women, and we don't like to always admit this, but women think on the same line. Some women think like a man. If I pick him off, you know, off the floor or off the ground and put him in some clean clothes, fix him up and everything, then I can control everything he does. Men do the same thing. And you have women that are control freaks and you have men who are control freaks. You have women who are very abusive and you have men who are very abusive. So it's like either way it goes, you have to know the distinction in any relationship you get in. I mean, there are a lot of violent relationships that it's all about control. Most of them are control. You know, it's not that they don't. I think a lot of it is they really don't love you. It's the idea that I got somebody that I can treat like crap when I don't feel good, or if I don't feel good about myself, I got somebody that I can treat worse or make feel worse than I am feeling. So a lot of this is not, but I love you. Love is such a word everybody wants to throw around when people truly, 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 truly from their hearts don't know what love is. We're in these dead relationships with these people, and the first thing we want to holler is, I love you, I love you, you're my life, I can't do without you. When really, in reality, you can. But you have your mindset to the point where, oh, I can't. Yeah, you can survive. You know, you think of all the things that have happened in your life, and you're still alive. You think of all the detrimental things, deadly things, the crazy things that happen to you, you can get through a bad relationship and move on with your life. Okay? Now, it says your own feelings. Do you feel tense, frustrated, unhappy, angry, defensive, or in fear when he or she is around most of the time? Do you find yourself tiptoeing around subjects or behaving differently just to keep the peace? Do you breathe a sigh of relief when they are gone? Do your friends or family avoid visiting because they don't want to be around your partner? Pay attention to your physical and emotional shifts in their presence. A relationship should leave you feeling good, not unhappy. Now, did you hear all those emotions, the questions, like they said, do you feel tense when you're in the room with that person because you don't know how they're going to react? Do you feel like, oh, my God, if I tell him that I haven't cooked or if I told her I can't pick her up today, you know, how is she going to act? You know, is she going to go crazy or what? If you feel tense just in a little bit of time that that person's in your presence, you need to start reconsidering your relationship, okay? You really need to start considering, do you feel frustrated, unhappy? You know, like when that person walks in, oh, God, I got to deal with this today, you know. Do you feel angry all the time, you know? And if you do, then, you know, you have to really reconsider. And I'm not saying every relationship you're in is not a good one when you have these feelings. I'm saying that you need to pay attention to how it's affecting you as a person. Because not only is it going to start affecting you personally, it'll start, it's going to start overflowing into your work life. Your friendships, because some of them don't even want you around friends. They'll get you away from your friends. So if they're doing the abuse or if they're treating you crazy, nobody is witness to it, you know. And we are so good. We're good actors and actresses, and we hide stuff, you know. And it's easy for us to cope. You know, oh, he's going to be all right or she's going to be all right. No, you guys, it's really wrong. I mean, it's really wrong, regardless. It's not fair. You're a human being, and you shouldn't be treated like an animal or treated like you're a puppy and you need to be trained. You know, that's not right. Okay. Do you find yourself tiptoeing around trying to keep peace all the time? If you feel that you have to keep peace all the time, you need to really check your relationship out. You really probably need to talk to somebody and find out what's gotten you this way and what you can do to fix it. And how, you know, how would you go about fixing it, you know? First thing I would say, I mean, you can take advice of friends. I mean, you need your friends to encourage you if you have friends. But most of all, you need to get special help, okay? You need to talk to a counselor or something, and somebody who has a specialty in relationships, okay, if you have that opportunity. Lots of people they can't afford counseling, they can't afford any, you know, if they're in a relationship, they've been in it for years, it's hard for them to change. Oh, he's all right, or she's all right, oh, she don't mean nothing by that, or he don't mean nothing. When really, I mean, you can look at the person and see that they're no longer the same. You know, they don't dress the same. They don't act the same. You know it's something wrong, you know. And then some of them you can't tell because they've been hiding it and been living it for so long. You can't tell. And they're going on with their life, but they're miserable and they're hurting inside, you know. But as a friend, I'm quite sure if you know the signs, that you can ask your friend, you know, what is going on with you guys? I'm not trying to get in your business, but you know, you don't look the same. You're not the way you used to be. Ask them that. You know, coax them, talk to them, you know, encourage them that, you know, if you think this is not right, I'm here for you. You can, anytime you need to leave, whatever, we can do this. You know, you have to be a good friend to that person also. Sometimes, and I'm a witness, I mean, I'm bad for this. When I see somebody in a bad relationship, I'm always wanting to protect them or jump bad. I find myself doing that or getting smart with the person that is being the abuser. And what I have to look at is, If that person is not ready to leave that relationship and they're coping with it, it's not my place to get mad at them or get mad at the other person, because obviously they're not ready to leave that relationship. So I find myself always trying to protect everybody. And in the end, really, you know, they don't want to be protected, in a sense. Some of them do, some of them don't. We already talked about control last week, so I'm not going to really get on control, because we know part of a toxic relationship is being in control, one person being in control of the other, and making a person feel bad about who they are and how they are, the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. You know, all of that is part of control if that other person can do that to you. Okay? Let's see here. Okay. Then we talk about the emotional abuse. Let's see. It says some people get in an emotional high off of drama and major arguments and blow-ups in a relationship and keep repeating those patterns. They may provoke heated altercations to feel emotionally charged. They thrive on the attention. It just results in leaving the other partner feeling drained. Further signs of emotional abuse are when your partner insults you, yells at you, calls you names, cusses at you, belittles you, and makes you feel unimportant, inferior, or unappreciated. Okay? I've seen it. I've heard it, and I've been through it. So, yeah, that is so true about emotional. And you, what you're doing is, what that person is doing is they slowly but surely breaking you down where they can really, really be in control of you, you know, making you feel bad, calling your names, you know, sometimes they think they're playing with you, but all you have to do is listen at the way they do it, and you know that it's not really a play. You know, you have drama kings and queens. You know, they like a lot of loud cussing and acting a fool and fighting and all that. Honey, that's not what love is. That's not what true love is. And you know what? I guess because, and the problem I have, and I know I do with myself, is when I see people that are together, happy, get along, great and everything, I think they're phony. I really do. I'm looking for that crack. Because, you know, you're so used to seeing, you know, eventually they're going to start cussing each other out and fighting. You know, you're sitting on the edge when you're looking at another couple that are truly happy because you're not used to it. So you're sitting there waiting for him to say something crap, you know, him something crazy to her, or she say something crazy to him, you know, right in front of you. You're really looking for that because you're not used to a relationship that really truly works, that people really get along. People do have fun together, and they really, truly love each other. So it's kind of hard sometimes, and like I said, I'm guilty of it, where you see couples that get along and play and joke, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. It's getting ready to get out of hand in a few minutes. Wait. I'm just waiting for it to get out of hand because we're so used to relationships not working, you know, and that's bad that we have that type of mindset. So keep in mind, the cursing and the belittling and, you know, making you feel like you're not nothing and all of that, those are warning signs that, hey, look, I need to reconsider this. And sometimes, you know, I'm saying this from a perspective that, you know, that you haven't got to the point where you're in love with this person. I mean, well, you might be in love with them, but you're trying to recognize why do you love them. And you haven't been in a relationship long, and then even if you have, you need to know, why am I feeling that I'm supposed to love this person? Why do I feel so bad when this person comes around? Why do I feel so tense? Why do I just know we're getting ready to argue? Why do I know all these signs and symptoms, and I'm still here, you know? Why? And those are the questions you need to ask yourself. Another thing is that's part of emotional abuse is the neglect. You know, they stay gone all the time, and when they come back, they don't want to be bothered. That goes for male and female. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to say nothing to you. Those are all forms of emotional abuse because they're taking away from you or they're depriving you of something that's supposed to be part of the relationship, the communication. When the communication breaks down, promise you guys, you need to start looking at the relationship. When you guys stop having things to talk about, then that's a warning sign. Okay, you know, they always say men don't talk, but if you get a man to really talk, he'll talk. You don't have a problem with talking, but you don't force him to talk. You know, we don't talk anymore. I want to talk to you. Don't force nobody to talk to you, okay? Let them do it on their own. Even though, you know, you're needing that, let him do it on his own because when you're ready to talk, you talk. So you give that person that same courtesy, okay? Let's see. Another thing, and I think not only is it emotional abuse, I think it's a form of control also, is when, like with me, I don't think, I guess I can say in certain ways I am flirtatious, but I know my limits. I know where I need to stop when it comes to flirting. And me and my husband, we play like that. I don't, you know, get mad if he flirts. And he doesn't sometimes, don't get mad when I flirt. But I'm flirting, and we flirt with each other in that same way because we tease each other a lot. So when we do that, that helps the relationship. You know, it gives a little spark, you know, keep us going. You know, because he knows he married a sarcastic woman. And he's learning to be just as sarcastic as I am with certain things that he say and certain things I say to him. So we're starting to learn, even though we've been married, come on, November 2nd, it'll be 8 years, and we're still learning, we're still in the honeymoon stage of actually picking up different things about each other, believe it or not, 8 years later. Like I say before, marriage is a everyday job. It's not just a 9-to-5, it's a 24/7, 365 days a year. So it's you're always working at your marriage if you want it to work. And I'm not saying if you're in a toxic relationship, just pack your stuff up and leave. I'm saying if anything, if you think that your relationship deserves the right to work, then you get counseling, you guys get counseling, and get the help to make the marriage better, okay? But if you know in your heart that you no longer want to be in this relationship, don't stay in it. Don't stay in a dead-end relationship. Move on. I mean, you know, I just sometimes I hear women talking, and it just kind of amazes me how we really, really perceive or put ourselves out there. You know, we put ourselves out there, sometimes we put ourselves out there wide open to be hurt, you know. We give all we give in that one little instant, and then when it's not the way you want to, you know, woe's me. But you got to take it a little at a time. You can't just throw everything at one man. You can't just throw everything at one woman. You have to kind of slightly, but, you know, drop by drop by drop. Don't give that person that much control over your emotions by you saying, oh, my God, on my third date, oh, you know what, I just know I want to be with you. I just enjoy your company. I just want to be with you all the time. You can't do that. You know, you're still in the learning process of knowing who that person is. You're dating, you know what I'm saying? So you need to really pay attention to that when we go out there and I got to have a man. No, no. Some women who go after men haven't even learned themselves yet. So you need to take your time and find, I mean, and then the thing is, too, we think when we get a certain age, oh, I'll never meet nobody, and oh, I'll never get married, woe's me, nobody wants me. Okay, first of all, have you learned to want yourself first? You know, have you, I mean, this thing about wanting to be married and settle down and I gotta have, no, baby, learn yourself. And I don't think, and I'm just saying this, in the Bible where it says that you have to be married, okay? Now, it does say it's better to be married than to burn. That I understand. But it doesn't mean that you have to be attached to somebody, okay? I mean, God did make man, Adam and Eve, and yes, they were together, but you guys have to understand, too, God created them, too. So their mindsets was made and created by God. When they start thinking on their own, that's when things did not go right. So that's the same way of searching for a person. When you go and search for somebody, instead of letting them search for you, what happens? You get what your mind says to get when it really wasn't who you were supposed to be with. And that's where another way of toxic relationships can be developed. Okay? So then we are talking about, we talked about emotional abuse. We're talking about physical abuse. Next thing you know, you're hitting. You know, you're hitting him, he hitting you, you know, and it gets out of hand. No. No. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. And I'm thinking about one of the authors that I interviewed. I think her name was LaDonna Smith. I think that's who it was, LaDonna Smith. She said that she knew the signs ahead of time, but she still married him, okay? She said she saw the signs ahead of time, but she went on and married him anyway. Now, how many marriages have started like that, the relationship as far as the dating goes and all that, and you wind up still marrying this person that ultimately abused you? You saw the signs in the dating process. You saw the controlling, why you're not on the phone, why you don't call me, you know, why you're not doing this. You saw the signs, and you just kind of ignored them and say, oh, it's a sign he loves me, and, oh, let me call him, and he's tacking. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know. You saw the signs, and you steady went on, and maybe something in your heart and mind told you to go ahead and, you know, maybe he'll get better. Maybe it won't be like that once we get married. You know, we try to come up with everything we can think of to make this not what it really is, an abusive relationship, a toxic relationship. And it's something we need to really look at to see if we can make a decision to get out of it. Okay, let's see here. Now, and it goes on, and it's basically breaking all down, all the types of abuse, when in reality we know that it's almost like what we were talking about earlier, well, last week, about domestic violence. Now, now, this one says how to identify a toxic relationship and ways to get out of it. Let's see. I think I've already. Let's see. I want to make sure. It says having a toxic relationship can be very, very draining. Okay? It can be draining to you and the people that are around you that, you know, see the signs, know what it is, and they're trying to help you, but you're not really ready to make that step, okay? Now, let's see. It says, oh, I didn't notice this either here. It says relationships, the toxic relationships have certain cycles that seem to repeat all the time. They can be divided into phases like honeymoon phase, major fallout one, and then makeup one. These keep going around and around in this vicious cycle that keeps on going. Part of the danger is that when we meet new people that we become involved with the honeymoon stage is always the starting point. Once they reel you in, things then begin to change, and by the time that a person sees the truth about things, it is a lot harder to get away from the situation. And that's what I said. Oh, I love you, and I love being with you. Oh, here's some flowers. Oh, I'm going to take you out to dinner. You know, you do the whole nine yards. What are you doing? But sometimes an abuser, because he knows that he don't even have to do all that. The only thing that he has to do is get your attention. You believe there's women out there just that weak? All he has to do is get your attention. Once he's gotten your attention, all he has to do is go from there. And that's how some women are. I mean, I'm not saying that women are so easy, but basically, in a sense, not all women, but there are women out there who basically all you got to do is say a couple words to them. You know what I forgot to do, you guys? I forgot to give you my call-in number, which is 347-677-1749. We have 19 minutes left for the show because I've only done an hour show. I'm probably going to I'll go back to my hour and a half shows later on once we get through this small little crisis, okay? So back to, like I said, I'm not saying women are naive. All women are naive and don't know how to take care of themselves and know, you know, but I'm surprised at the women that I've encountered or heard other some of my other friends talk about that they, you know, talk to, that are so easily, and it don't take them nothing for a man, just the attention of a man, you know, just somebody smiling at them, you know. And I guess because I talk to guys all the time, I mean, I talk to men all the time, even if I wasn't married, I'm not expecting every man that I meet to be the man I want to be with. I just don't get that concept. But some women are like that. I don't know why. Lots of it has to do with low self-esteem, the relationship, prior relationships they've been in, the way that they were raised. All of that plays into how she grows up, how she becomes a woman, and how she views men and the way men are. Even though there are so many ways out there that helps women, you know, to choose men, women still do it the same way, you know. He smiled at me, giggled at me, oh, my gosh, you know. Oh, he's so cute. And I say that myself. I say guys are cute. But I'm not about to have a full-blown relationship with them because they're cute. So what? You know, and I guess because I talk to them all the time. I talk to guys all the time. I'm not looking for relationships out of anybody. You know what I'm saying? Even if I was single, every guy who talks to me, oh, my God, he's paying attention to me. And some women are like that. And, I mean, it's sad that they're like that, but the reality is there are women out there that are desperate. There's men out there that get the googly eyes when a woman looks at them, you know, because of their self-esteem. It's not all just women who feel that way. It's men, too, who have issues with their self-esteem and their ego and their arrogance and their, you know, how they feel them, excuse me, feel about themselves and how they view themselves. There are men out there the same way, and it's not a girly girl thing. It's just how men are. I mean, the only thing difference between a man and a woman is vagina and a breast. That's the only thing different, and a penis. Our emotions are not the same, but we all can get the same emotions, you know. I mean, we don't have them at the same time. So men get all googly eyes and melt when a woman talks to them just the same way a woman does, you know. So we have to keep in mind, men have emotional problems just like we do. There are no exception to the rules. And that's why I'm saying significant other, him or her. You know what I'm saying? And it goes along with also in same-sex relationships. It's the same thing. You know, I mean, they see somebody they like, you know, okay. The guy talked to her. The guy talks to him or the girl talks to her, you know. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, gosh, I'm in love. We are so easily, and then we move people in. We either move in with people or we move people in our house, you know. And I just wish there was another way of getting it through that you can do it by yourself. You really can. And there's nothing wrong with being. I know I hear people, oh, I'm so tired of being by myself. I'm so tired of being by myself. Look, okay, I understand, and I say this, and this is just me. You came in the world by yourself. Guess who's going to be laying in that casket or being cremated? You're going to be by yourself. So, I mean, get used to it. I mean, I hate to say it like that because until you do what you need to do, you're going to be by yourself. And until you let go all that doggone baggage that you carry around, you're going to be by yourself, okay? Because that's what we do. We take one relationship and we bag it up, get out of it, and then take it to the next relationship, and you wonder why everything never works out for you. Because you haven't let go. You haven't learned to love yourself first. So all that love that you're wasting on somebody else, and you understand why they don't receive, they don't want to give it back to me, because guess what? That's love that you should have gave to yourself first and foremost anyway. Okay. And that doesn't go for everybody. That's just some people. Okay. It also says, lots of things can cause a toxic relationship, but many feel that they come from things that people see when they are growing up. Okay, we just talked about that, okay? They see nothing wrong with this type of behavior as it is all that they have known for many years. It says, another way that cycle continues is what we are seeing. Some people also feel that happiness has eluded them, so there is no reason for anyone to be happy. Like I said earlier about the relationship, for example, seeing a couple that really truly loves each other kind of takes me aback, because I'm like, you know what? Somebody's going to break out in a few minutes and start cussing, because I cannot believe that these people are actually in a relationship. They love each other. They get along well, and they don't argue. Or if they argue, they know how to solve it without getting it all out of hand. I can't believe that. Without cussing, belittling each other, I can't. Because you've seen so many abusive relationships, you just cannot believe that a couple really, really gets along. You know, behind closed doors, what they show us, but I bet you behind closed doors, they off the chain. But maybe they are truly, really in love with each other. Maybe there is no argument. And so we grow up, the abuser grows up thinking that nobody, if I can't be happy and I can't see an example of a good relationship and a happy and healthy relationship, then nobody's going to have one. And that's basically how they view stuff, okay? And, I mean, that's sad, but that's how it is. I mean, you can't change that, okay? But you can change it. Okay. It says, getting away from this abuse is of utmost importance if you want to maintain some sense of self-worth. You have the control and the ability to have better things in life. Okay, it is all your choice. Many people stay as they feel they deserve nothing better than what they have. This is because of the low self-esteem that they are feeling, all that has been caused by the abusive party, which can be a woman, not just a man. Like I said earlier, it could be either or. Or it can be man, man, woman, woman. So don't get the impression that it's always the man that's the aggressor, okay? It says there are steps that you can take to get out of it that is what you want, if that's what you want. First, stand up and be heard. This can be a huge way that you can get started at getting out of the toxic relationship that you have gotten into. Some people get up and leave the situation while others manage to find ways that help repair the damage that has occurred and have a very happy relationship after fixing it. And we talked about that earlier, where if you think this relationship is worth you going through the stages of fixing it, then fix it. But if you know that it's not, and you know in your heart, because a woman's intuition is a mother, and I'm going to say it just like that, we know in our hearts when a relationship is not worth us fixing. It's up to us to really know that this is the next step I'm going to take is to get out of it. Okay? It says, too, here it says, remember the note, this note. Most relationships can be saved. Space or time apart may be necessary in order to do this. Both partners need to want to save the relationship in order for this to happen. And this is a common goal that you share. You may end up with a relationship that you always wanted, even better than it was in the beginning. Now, that has to be the decision of both of you guys to want to make it work. You cannot make someone be with you when they've decided that they don't want to be with you. You have to sit down and communicate with each other. Okay, baby, we're at a point where we can't even talk without cussing and hollering and fighting. What are we going to do? What do you want to do? First of all, you say, I would like to make this happen. I would like to make this relationship work. Now, what do you want to do? And if they give you an answer similar to yours, then you guys need to work on it. If his answer or her answer is a whole different answer, then you need to start making some decisions that's going to make this go your, you go your way and I go mine. You have to know that. And you won't know that until you actually sit down with that person and talk to them. There are times when you can sit and talk, even if you're laying in the bed with that person, talk to them. They're not asleep majority of the time. They're laying there wondering, too, why they're so miserable, you know. And then some people, I'll be honest with you, some people can sleep very well at nighttime, even with their heart the way it is. There's people out there who can do that. But you have to know that if you ask them this question, you have to give them time to give you an answer. Because if they don't truly want to make it work, there's no need for you to hold on to them. You need to move on. You know, lick your wounds and move on, okay? And sometimes if it's feasible, maybe you guys need to go, you know, separate ways for a little bit. Get from up under each other. You know, take some time, go out with your girlfriends for the weekend and stay, and then come back. You know, if he's really, really... But sometimes in that day, you know, they swear up and down, you're going to go lay it with a man or another woman or whatever. You know, you never know. But you have to take a judgment call on that part about being apart. Okay. We said both the parties want to save the relationship. Okay. Then it says... It says, decide which way you are going to go in regards to your relationship. Is it stay or go? This will show that you are serious about the situation needing change and that you are not going to put up with any further garbage. Lay down the law, in other words. Okay. I'm not telling you what you have to do because you're a grown, responsible person. But I'm telling you what I will not no longer put up with. I will no longer put up with this. If we cannot work at fixing this, then I think that we need to reconsider our whole relationship and where we stand in the relationship. Okay? This is one way you can say it. It can help. Help you get your partner to have more appreciation for you as well. Now that the decision part is done, try to connect with your partner on a level where you both are equal. No nagging, but make things clear on what your expectations are. If this is not in the cards for them to agree with, then make sure that they know what you are going to do, that you will indeed leave the situation for good. Just like I just said, if they come to the point where they still want to argue, then you know right then and there that they no longer want to be in this relationship and that you need to move on. Because you've already said, this is what I expect out of the relationship. This is what I want to do to make it work. And you ask them what they want to do, if they want to make it work, if they want to argue, and where do you get all this from? Why are you talking like this? Then that right there tells you right then that they think that they're losing control and that they really don't want to let you go, but they're not going to make it work. They're not going to make you happy in the same sense. So you need to cut ties. I mean, drop them like a hot potato. I mean, that's all you could do. Excuse me. That's all you can do. Okay. A toxic relationship is when a partner takes and never gives. You want a healthy relationship where both parties give and take. The power is there to change the bad to good. It takes time and commitment to do this, though. Now, a person who's been doing this, say you've been in a relationship with a person for 5 years, and all of a sudden you wake up and say, okay, enough is enough, I want change. It's going to take that person some time. It's up to you to stay in it enough to work it, okay? If you no longer want to work at it, then that's when you decide that, you know, this is not going to work, I got to go, okay? So, you know, keep that in mind. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. They're not going to, you know, say I'm sorry overnight and really truly mean they're sorry overnight, especially when you've allowed this person to be abusive towards you for 5 years. And then all of a sudden one morning you wake up and say enough is enough. It's going to take work, and it's going to take commitment from both of you guys to make it work, okay? Now, if you want an ex back, remember that timing is very important. A rebound relationship or casual sex is often used in attempts to get over you. Act quickly if you want them back, or you risk it being too late. Now, you see what it does? You do in a rebound when you're separated, you go get with somebody else. You haven't even had time to deal with you. You've been in a relationship with this person 4 or 5 years. Abusive, bad relationship. You decide to say, you know what, I need some time away from you. So you get the time away from me. Instead of you working on you, you go and get somebody else to work on. Can I say that again? You go get somebody else to work on. So now when y'all eventually get back together, nothing's been solved. You know, nothing's been solved because you went out and did your thing, and they went out and did their thing with somebody else. But then when y'all get back together, it's the same. Nobody learned anything. You never took time out to work on yourself because you were too busy trying to get you some, okay? Which just mind boggles me, okay? But to each his own. Now, I mean, that's just my opinion, to each his own when it comes to that, because everybody... I don't know. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, we have 3 more minutes left. Well, since we only have 3 more minutes left, hopefully next week I'll be able to do my show again. I want to thank everyone who is listening or who will be listening. I hope I've given you guys some great information. I hope I gave you good explanations, and I hope I did it in the order that I want to, and I hope you understand completely what I said about a toxic relationship. You need to know when to get out of it. You need to know when you're in one. You know, you need to know the signs, the abuse, emotional, physical, and mental abuse of a toxic relationship. Ask the questions. Communicate with that person. Don't force them to communicate, but communicate with that person. Let that person know how you feel. Stand up for yourself. Quit being their punching bag or their, you know, whatever you want to call it. Don't allow them to do that. Women, don't be in such a hurry to get in relationships. Learn yourself. Let me say this again. Learn, love yourself. Learn and love yourself first and foremost. You have to do that first. You know how to catch me, you guys? You can catch Chocolate Lady 64 on Facebook, Felita McCall. You can catch me on Sensible64@yahoo.com. I haven't been on my Black Planet in a while, but you can also leave me a message on there. You can leave me a message on Blog Talk Radio. So I want to say thank you guys very much. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend, and take care of your families. God bless, and this is Chocolate Lady 64 signing off. Good night.